Epilogue 1. Regardless of who wins, an election should be a time for optimism and fresh approaches. Gary Johnson.
I call this meeting to order,
Alani said, her voice sharp in the Elysium's half-light. The assembled vampires slowly settled down, and a hushed silence fell on the room.
I hereby call the election for Prince of the City as set forth by law.
Alani gestured to Lamort, who stood to the left of the dais.
As temporary regent, it is my duty to ask if anyone will stand against the former prince.
There was a pause, where many people shifted uncomfortably. Shoes shuffled, throats were cleared. Someone coughed. Diego, who sat on the dais in the other chair, looked uncomfortable. He knew what was coming.
If there is no challenger, an election is unnecessary. I hereby declare the Prince of the City re-elected.
Alani gestured.
Your Highness.
Lamort took a step up to the dais and sat down on the empty throne. Everyone applauded, a little too loudly. Lamort gave a smile that stretched his face like a grimace.
I hereby reclaim the throne, he spoke with a loud voice. And I reinstate my two advisors to their former positions. I also reinstate all laws and restrictions I have previously instated in this city, including the no-kill policy. As of this moment, killing humans in the Bay Area is forbidden, and feeding must be by consent only.
The prince has spoken, Alani said.
Furthermore, Lamort said, former regent Diego Alonso stands accused of treason for leading mortals into the Elysium and for exposing the vampire community. I say he is guilty, and punishment must be carried out immediately.
Shall it be a blood hunt, my prince?
Alani said, her eyes fixed on Diego and got a hungry expression.
No, I will not start my new reign with killing.
Lamort gestured to Diego.
You will instead be imprisoned in the rooms beneath the Elysium until such time as I see fit to release you.
He paused.
And that might be a long, long time.
Two of the guards stepped forward. Diego got to his feet, looking for a moment like he was going to try to run.
Resist, and it shall be a bloodless imprisonment, the prince said. Go quietly, and I shall make sure you receive a drop or two from time to time, enough to keep you alive at least.
Diego's shoulders fell, and when the two guards took hold of him, he went without a fight. The prince looked at Alani.
Very well. On to business, then. Who has matters to bring before the prince?
Epilogue 2. I have learned that if you must leave a place that you have lived in and loved, and where all your yesteryears are buried deep, leave it in any way except a slow way. Leave it the fastest way you can. Beryl Markham from West with the Night. Jim studied the suitcase and looked around the room. He picked up Ginger's picture from the dresser drawer where he'd put it when he came back from the Bruce mansion and looked at it.
I'm not taking you with me, honey, he said to the picture. We had our time, and I had a long time to grieve. But now, it's time to look ahead. I'll leave you here, where I think you belong.
He kissed the image of Ginger's face and put it back on the nightstand. Turning around, he looked at the newly constructed wall in his bedroom. It looked pretty close to the old one, although the paint didn't quite match. But he supposed it didn't matter much. Andrew wasn't going to live in this room. He had decided to move into his old room instead, saying that he would feel weird sleeping in Jim's bed. Jim had decided to pack light, but he still managed to fill up two suitcases. Rhea had only one, but she hadn't lived in San Francisco long enough to collect many belongings here. Most of her things were stashed in various places all over the world, she'd told him, which gave them convenient excuses to make a few stops in cities in Europe, Asia, and the United States. There was the familiar sensation of wind against his face, and a spirit appeared next to his bed. He smiled.
I was going to call you before I left, but this saves me the trouble.
Mary Louise looked at him with large, sad eyes.
So it's true? You're leaving?
I am. I think I've done all I can around here, at least for now. I've been here since before you were born, but it's time to try something else.
A lot of people are going to miss you,
the girl shrugged.
A lot won't, I guess, but most of the spirits will.
Thanks. That means a lot. And actually, I've got something I wanted to ask you.
What?
The girl lit up.
You want me to come with you?
No. I want you to stay here and help Andrew, Mercedes, and Matt run the place. Matt can talk to you, or at least his spirit cat can. You'll still be able to help people in this city if you want. And to tell you the truth, Mary Louise...
He leaned forward and brought his face closer to the spirit's hazy face.
I'm a bit worried about them. They're so new at this. It would make me feel a lot better if someone like you could be there to help them out if they need it. Could you do that for me?
The girl straightened up and nodded, with pride in her eyes.
I won't let you down. I promise.
Thanks, Mary Louise. You know what? Of all the spirits I've met in this crazy city, I think I'll miss you the most.
Mary Louise looked like she wanted to give him a hug. Instead, she raised one hand in a wave and faded away. Jim closed the suitcases, lifted them up, and carried them into the hallway. He turned and took one last look at the room where he had slept for more years than he cared to remember, before carrying them downstairs. He put them in the lobby where Mercedes' desk stood empty. They were all waiting for him in the office. Mercedes, newly back from her honeymoon in Hawaii, was the first to jump up and give him a hug. She squeezed him hard enough for him to wince.
Okay, that's enough, Mercedes,
he said. I'll miss you too.
Why? Why do you have to leave? She said. Please, won't you stay? We need you.
No, you don't.
Jim looked around the room at all his employees and friends.
You don't need me anymore. Andrew's every bit the leader you need in the field. You're the heart and brain of the place anyway. And Matt's superpowers can take care of most of the supernatural threats. I've spoken to Inspector Benari, and he's expecting your calls. He promised to keep you in the loop, and even though it will never be what it was with Roger Charles, he's a bit more willing to cooperate after his partner was murdered. He'll work with you. I've even managed to give you some backup in the spirit world, should you need it. Trust me, you're ready to do this by yourselves.
That doesn't necessarily mean that we want to, Andrew said.
I know we had our disagreements, but...
But you were right in your opinions then, Andrew. Jim moved away from Mercedes and to his desk, where Andrew sat on the side. He didn't feel right sitting in Jim's chair yet.
You thought I did too much without asking you, and you were right. You're a good leader. You should lead. I was never meant to lead a team. I always worked alone. I loved working with all of you guys, don't get me wrong. But I think you'll be a hell of a team, even without me. Maybe even better. As far as I'm concerned, San Francisco is in good hands.
Jim went to Matt, who got up from his chair to give him an awkward hug.
Goodbye, Jim. It's been a pleasure working with you. I'm so glad you gave me the chance to be a part of this.
The pleasure was entirely mine, Matt.
If you use your power for good and for the protection of the innocents in this city, you'll make your spirit animal proud.
Oh, she's quite pleased with me, actually.
Matt grinned.
She keeps saying I should have cubs. Okay, nobody is having cubs with my sister,
Mercedes said.
I don't care how well you get along. She's way too young for anything like that.
Matt gave her a sheepish smile.
I'm just repeating what Kuga said. Fine, but I'm watching you. Both of you.
Mercedes scowled.
I can't believe you hooked up with my sister. There should be some kind of law against that.
I've got you something, by the way. Jim went back to the lobby, got a package from the suitcase, and returned. He handed it to Andrew. Something I thought you needed. Andrew unwrapped the soft package and pulled a blue fedora hat out of the paper.
I figured, this still being an old-fashioned detective agency, whoever sits in that chair needs to have one of those, Jim said. Just to remember where this all started.
Andrew put the hat on his head, pulling the brim down a little.
It suits you, Mercedes said. Definitely.
And it's even my color. Andrew took the hat off again and made a little toss, landing it on the same little hook where Jim always hung his own hat.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate it.
I've signed all the papers for you,
Jim said, looking at both Andrew and Mercedes.
As far as the Ginger Corrigan Foundation is concerned, you two are now joined co-owners of the agency, the house, and everything else. I still maintain the executive right, and I'll draw on the same pool of money, even though my use should be negligible. As far as you're concerned, you're in charge of the whole thing. Take care of it, and of my city.
We will.
Mercedes' voice was choked up with tears now.
But you'll come back, right? It's just temporary.
Jim smiled.
Let's just say that nothing lasts forever.
In the lobby, the door opened and Rhea came in.
Are you ready?
She asked.
Well, yes, I think so. I think it's time to adjourn my last meeting of Tempest Investigations.
He looked at Mercedes.
At least for the time being.
Jim reached out his hand to Andrew.
Good luck.
Andrew took the hand, but pulled him into an embrace.
Godspeed, Jim. We'll miss you.
Well, never more than a phone call away if you need to talk to me.
Jim went into the lobby and picked up the suitcases. Walking outside, Jim put his suitcases into the car. Rhea's was already there, and he closed the trunk while Rhea hugged Mercedes, Andrew, and Matt goodbye.
Tell Charlie goodbye for me, Jim said.
I will. He wanted to be here, but...
Mercedes shrugged.
They're really making him pay for taking that honeymoon. He's drowning in work.
Well, when I'm gone, there's always an opening in the firm if he gets tired of the corporate life.
Jim grinned.
You guys might need a security expert someday.
He walked around to the passenger side of the car.
Give us a call when you get to wherever you're going, okay?
Mercedes said.
Just so we know you got there safely. When we know where that is, we'll let you know,
Rhea said. She walked to the driver's side.
You guys be safe. No fighting vampires.
Not if I have anything to say about it,
Matt said.
I had enough of that to last me a lifetime.
Jim hesitated, not knowing how to say that final goodbye. Rhea had already gotten into the car, but he looked at all his friends.
I want you guys to know something, he said. I couldn't have done it without you. You're the best friends I've ever had.
He swallowed.
And I'll miss you. Take care of each other.
He got into the car, Rhea started the engine, and they pulled away from the curb. Mercedes, Andrew, and Matt all waved at the car as it drove down Market Street and vanished into the traffic. Jim asked her to drive northeast, and Rhea thought she knew why when signs for the Oakland Bay Bridge began to appear. She expected Jim wanted one last look at the city from it. As they cruised up on the bridge, Jim put one hand in his pocket and pulled a pack of cigarettes out. Rhea sighed.
Are you seriously going to smoke in the car? It's going to be a long trip if you...
Jim rolled the window down and tossed the pack out of it. Rhea saw it whirling through the air and vanish over the edge of the bridge into the San Francisco Bay.
What was that for?
She asked.
I've been thinking about quitting. This seemed like the right time.
Jim turned his head and looked back as they drove out of the city. As Rhea leaned over and kissed his cheek, she felt tears run down it and kissed them away. She could see the emotion in Jim's eyes, see the love he felt for his city, and whispered in his ear,
"Relax, cowboy. You'll be back."
And so, Tempest Investigations comes to an end. The show is over, and we leave the characters in a place where they can be happy. Well, most of them, anyway. But of course, nothing ever ends. We can always continue. What will happen to Jim and Rhea as they get married and travel the world? How will Andrew and Mercedes run Tempest Investigations? Will Alani still want to help the new Tempest even after Jim is gone? Will Diego ever get out and want revenge? There are always questions, and as before, I hope you will decide to answer those questions in fan fiction. I would love to see other people playing with my characters, exploring the world and the endless possibilities. The show is over, but the adventure is just beginning. Thank you for watching.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.